So we've certainly seen the defeat of the Labour Party, and they lost many seats, and the Tories are very triumphant about their great victory. Mm-hmm. And many of the Corbynistas are in despair, going on about crying and not really sure, how can they continue to live without a Corbyn government? Firstly, I think we think that, the Labour was defeated. There were a lot of reasons why they were defeated. And we don't really want to go into all of those. There are obviously things like, when was the election held, the role of the mass media, the fact that the mass media was so anti-Corbyn. So there's a lot of different things like that. Mm-hmm. However, the problem lies with the people who supported Corbyn for the future is that they now think that, we have to look at what went wrong and improve these things so that next time we can win. So the kind of things they're looking at is, we need to get a better leader, maybe we need to get a northerner, maybe we need to get a woman, maybe we have to think a bit more about the manifesto, you know, all these kind of things. And there's even a group that's been set up called Labour Transformed, which is talking about going into the Labour, you know, spending more time in the Labour Party, trying to get certain Corbynite type policies through.
Yeah.
So this, I think, is a big problem.
It is. It is a big problem. And it shows the general kind of weakness of the left and, I would say, libertarian, socialist, anarchists in general, really. We shouldn't have to rely on Corbynistas and some kind of class compromise social democracy in order to improve our lives. We should be out there taking direct action and build autonomous resistance. It's been proven again and again that non-parliamentarian change is more effective, or tactics are more effective. I mean, look at what's going on in France at the moment. You know, the electricians, they've just switched off shitloads of police stations, electricity and stuff, you know, just like that. You know, it's just your imagination is just use our brains. There's so much we can do if we're just getting together and do something, you know. It's on the streets and in the communities where the change are. That's where the people are. Not getting some careerist politician in to give you a few extra crumbs and stuff, because it doesn't change society anyway, really. It just compromises.
Yeah, I think the key thing here is that you can't have socialism through Parliament. There is no parliamentary road to socialism.
No.
And this has been proved this time and on previous occasions. We've actually got to create a movement, and I know that's going to be very difficult, but that's the only choice we have. We had to build a movement in the workplaces and on the streets and in the neighbourhoods. And that means, you know, don't waste our time on trying to transform the Labour Party and on leadership contests within the Labour Party. And also, you know, some people have put forward this idea that they can transform the Labour Party into some sort of actual grassroots network. You know, turn the constituency Labour parties into mutual aid centres. And from what I see, it's extremely cynical. They intend, you know, to either, you know, take over what exists of social movements, granted there are not many, or they will help bring about social movements that they will then control. They're talking about actually pulling out of these social movements in the future people who would then stand as candidates of the Labour Party. So they're actually talking about trying to co-opt any grassroots movements under the aegis of Labourism, which is is a very dangerous thing, because we've seen how social democracy, labourism, has sabotaged struggle after struggle in this country and all around the world. And, you know, for example, in Germany, with the 1918 German Revolution, the actual Social Democrats acted as a force of reaction, linked up with a right to crush the revolution there. We saw the Labour government in 1945, how it brought out troops against striking workers, striking dockers, miners, etc. We saw that. And with the Wilson government, we saw how he turned against the seafarers who'd gone out on strike. And you know, talked about a tightly knit group of politically motivated men. So
There is no shortcuts to socialism. There is no shortcuts. We need to be prepared for the long, hard, long slog. We need to get stuck in and do the nitty-gritty, even if it's not particularly exciting. And we also need to be prepared to engage with people that might live outside of our political bubble. You know, we need to get out there and talk to people. You know, obviously we wouldn't organise with like fascists and scumbags like that. But I mean, we need to be out there interacting and talking to people, and we need to work with people. You know, and as if we focus on the class issues, that's what we all got in common. You know, class above everything. You know, class is the most important. It's the A and O.
And I think it's just as important to to avoid the scumbag trots as it is to avoid the scumbag fascists.
Because Oh, yeah.
You can't work with them. They will still try to get involved with them. They will still want to lead it. They will still want to take over. They will still want their vanguard party. Yeah. It'll be Barcelona 1936 again. And we all get fucked.
I agree with you. I mean, the Trots and the Stalinists, they're just as bad as Labour. I mean, to be honest, just tell them, just call them what they are. They're the left wing of capital. They're not an alternative to capitalism. They're part of capitalism.
Yeah.
You know, so sod them. Fuck them. I think we've been far too lenient for too long with the Trotskyist, Leninist left. And I think we should take more of a stand against them, just as we take a stand against social democracy, which is like a failure, as we've seen. And we need to go out there and do the grassroots stuff. You know, we need to go back to the basics. You know, we need to be amongst our fellow working class people and do things. And then we can build a bigger and better society. But we've got to start from the bottom up. You know, we can't start from the top down, like the whole Labour Party kind of thing works. You know, it's got to be from the bottom up. We've got our own structures. We've got plenty of examples on how we can organise. There's no excuse not to get stuck in. There is lots of small scale things going on, community work going on already, and there is plenty of new unions that's starting up, trying to organise people. In the gig economy and stuff, just get stuck in there, you know. That's what we've got to do.
And talking bottom up, avoid like the plague anything like momentum. Demonized as extreme left in the media, whereas in fact their actual function was to constrain and contain any real socialist yearnings whatsoever. I sneaked into a couple of meetings in Twickenham.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I must have. I was out of pure curiosity. I wanted to see what the fuckers were up to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was absolutely patently clear, although it was supposed to be bottom-up. And to be fair, they did rotate the chair in a quite democratic way. Nevertheless, in essence, those people who were there who were talking, you became absolutely clear that their goal was not to enable socialism bottom up, but to constrain that bottom, to restrict, to close down that bottom within very clear ideological lines. I mean, frankly, the parliamentary route is like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. The Titanic is still going to go down. Yep. Why is it going to go down? Because the establishment does not want any socialist party. They got rid of Harold Wilson in 1976. Why? Was Wilson a socialist? Not very much. He had a few trips to, about a dozen trips to Moscow, but, you know, so did Margaret Thatcher.
Was Corbyn really a socialist, to be honest?
No.
Do you reckon?
No. He was just a nice man.
Yeah. Very nice man. I'm sure he makes a lovely jam, you know, and he's got an allotment.
Absolutely.
He's probably a really nice guy. But, I mean,
well.
But even if he was, that's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
The problem with all of this belief in reformism, parliamentary right to democracy, as Nick's already pointed out, is that even if Corbyn had won, what would he actually have done? He's a nice man.
Mm-hmm.
He might be very sincere and want to see major changes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what they fail to see is the power of the actual government is nothing compared to the power of actual capitalism.
And the state as well.
And the state, which is actually separate from just the government, the state and its apparatus and all the various things that all go with it. So basically, there's this whole system. And then a government gets in, and the government could be as well-meaning as they want, but they operate within that very constrained system. So at the most, they would have got through very small reforms.
Yeah.
And really, but see, that's the problem, though, with the people who got on the bandwagon, is now because they refuse to look at history, they refuse to recognise what Nick was just saying about what Labour parties have done in the past, much more left-wing Labour parties have done in the past and how they've attacked the working class. And they still have this idea that, oh, if we get in, it will be different this time. And that's what's really hard to argue. Say, no, it's not going to be different this time. So we've got to be making those points. And the other thing is the kind of struggles. It's quite possible that Johnson, trying to show, oh, really, how progressive I am or whatever, is going to be giving a few little tidbits.
He's going to give a lot of tidbits because there was, to be fair, it was a pretty big deal gaining the vote from some of the communities up north, ex-mining communities. You know, they would rather shoot themselves than vote Tory, normally. And he's not stupid. He's not just going to ignore it.
But what's interesting is the kind of tidbits they can get, they never can really, they don't want to undermine the domination of capital over labour. They might offer a bit more on the welfare state, they might give a bit more to the NHS, or a few things like that. But what they won't do, just like we saw with past Labour government, as soon as the working class begins to have a go against capital in the workplace in any serious form, then they crack down. And I'm sure, well, Johnson certainly will do that. But I really think that if Corbyn had got elected, the same thing would have happened if there'd been any move towards strikes or workers trying to get, you know, better wages, etc., etc.
Yeah, because it is parliamentary democracy that is fundamentally flawed. So no, even if you have the most left-leaning Labour leader, it's going to make absolutely no difference because they still work within the constraints of a parliamentary democracy, which, first of all, I mean, you know, Tony Blair in 2005 became Prime Minister on the basis of 15.6% of the population voting for him. Mm-hmm. Call that fucking democracy?
Yeah,
right. I've got better words for it.
Yeah.
So there is no democracy. This is not rule by the people, government by the people, for the people, of the people. It is the establishment where the police and the armed forces swear their allegiance not to the people, but to the fucking Queen. That's the one thing we're going to need to get rid of. Get rid of the unelected monarchy. Get rid of the unelected House of Lords.
Yep.
Get rid of most parliamentarians are actually not properly elected. But then if they fail to get elected, as in the case of my erstwhile Member of Parliament, Zach Goldsmith, if he loses the election, never mind. Stick him up in the House of Lords and nothing's lost.
Yeah. But see, that's why I don't think it's just that. That's the thing. It's not just making it more democratic, or it's really an issue of you can't make it more democratic unless you completely destroy the actual capitalism. You know, because you could, because you could get rid of the rule. There's plenty of countries around the world, you know, the USA has no monarchy, we've got rid of the monarch, there's no House of Lords, they've got all the checks and balances in a government, you know, on paper it looks all very, you know, and states' rights and things like that. But you can't, even if you made the system more democratic or more conducive to people having some kind of say, without getting rid of the capitalist system that surrounds it, it will be meaningless.
And I think, you know, it's really ridiculous to want to campaign with the Labour Party for the next 5 years, you know, because until there's another election, where there's a possibility that Labour might be elected, possibly. As we have to keep underlining, we need to create a movement. And that means, you know, we need to break with the Labour Party. In fact, you know, I want the destruction of the Labour Party.
Yeah.
I want to build a revolutionary movement in this country that brings about anarchist communism. And with that, I have to say that the anarchist movement itself, it has a lot to answer for.
Yeah.
It's failed, it's stayed within its bubble. In fact, it's become more and more enclosed in this bubble. It's not looking out towards the mass of the population. It's more and more inward looking, and people if they're looking for alternatives, I mean, they look at the anarchist movement, unfortunately, and they see it's a laughing stock. But you know, it's people like us, you've got to sort of develop real anarchist communist politics, break with all of that.
We need to if we talk about genuine change, we need to stop nitpicking about things that we disagree with amongst each other as anarchists, and start working together and do a bit of practical nitty-gritty work, you know. That's what matters. We need to get we need to work amongst our communities, as I've been saying before. You know, we can't go on like this, you know. This needs to be some form of wake-up call. If this isn't a wake-up call, you know, I might as well pack it in, like, you know. Well, Labour Party, Corbyn, come on. You know, ridiculous. Come on, let's go with spiking, kick it up one level at least, you know. This is pathetic.
The problem is that there is no circumstance whatsoever under which a left-leaning Labour Party would ever be permitted to come to power.
No.
In those occasions around the world where by accident a lefty is elected, like Chile in 1973, or Evo Morales, for example, right?
Oh, yeah, what happened to him? He went very suddenly.
Absolutely. The coup there was about as cynical as coups are possible to be, even down to now the opposition, or rather those who have led the coup, calling for Morales to be tried in the International Criminal Court. How fucking cynical can you get, for heaven's sake? Venezuela, happily, I'm no huge fan of Maduro. He's not brilliant, but at least I'm pleased to see that he's kept the coup out of Venezuela. But it's what happens, you know, if a lefty gets elected by accident anywhere in the world, those in power make the appropriate adjustments and get rid of them.
Yeah.
That is terrifying, and that means that the challenge for anarchists, yes, we are modest in numbers, full of wonderful ideas, but modest in numbers, and there's a lot of work to do. So we need to think, okay, beyond talk, how do we strategize in such a way that we can actually make some kind of impact in the lives of those who erstwhile may have voted Labour or...
Even Tory.
Or even Tory, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And persuade them that actually there's something systemically wrong with the system. There is something systemically wrong with a parliamentary democracy. There is something systemically wrong with capitalism, in particular the neoliberal variety of capitalism, and that it can only get worse from here on in the way that it has got worse already in the past 30 years.
I still think that for a lot of people, they might, in their heads, even see themselves as a Tory. But in a particular situation, when they're involved in some kind of struggle at work or in their neighbourhood, they can act very differently from how they even see themselves.
Yes, yes.
And I know there's, for example, the group in Newham, Friends of Queen's Market, has all sorts of people involved in that. And you know, and a lot of them wouldn't probably see themselves particularly as left at all. But because there's one issue that they see that, you know, local markets being threatened by developers, etc., or, you know, the privatization of housing, or it could be at work when people are struggling to make ends meet and with rents, all those issues, yes, we need to address their sort of ideas about it. And, but I think it's best done. You can best do it when you're really stuck in to a particular campaign or struggle with people.
Well, again, it's about focusing on things that unites us as a class, rather than atomize us into all these million different varieties of stuff that, you know, okay, yeah, we're all different. You know, we all got our different ways of life and et cetera, et cetera. But what unites us is our class interests, and that's what we should focus on above everything else. Mm.